You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
Welcome back to Secure Freedom Radio. I'm your guest host, Kyle Scheidler, filling in for the great Frank Gaffney. Joining me now, he's the founder and CEO of Change Up Media, LLC. His writings have appeared at The Federalist, City Journal, and Conservative Review. And he is a 2015 Publius Fellow for the Claremont Institute. My good friend, Benjamin Weingarten. Benjamin, thanks for joining us.
Kyle, thanks so much for having me. It's my pleasure.
It's always a pleasure to speak to a fellow Claremonster, so we're glad to have you. So I wanted to talk to you a little bit about the growing problem of free speech on the internet as it relates to jihad and jihadist terrorism. And you had a recent piece talking about a lawsuit that Prager University, PragerU, which does a number of YouTube videos related to conservative ideals, has filed against video site YouTube, which is owned by Google. Tell me a little bit about that situation and how things are coming down.
Yeah, so PragerU is engaging in what I think is perhaps the most high-profile and major attempt at lawfare when it comes to litigating with social media companies who are discriminating in some form or fashion on the basis of ideology. And you preempted this, of course, by talking about the notion of censoring counter-jihadist speech. And PragerU really represents the countering or censoring, banning, etc., flagging of any conservative content broadly. And so PragerU's suit against YouTube claims that YouTube has engaged in viewpoint discrimination, censoring and demonetizing numerous PragerU videos on a wide variety of subjects, ranging from Islamic supremacism through private property rights, free speech and the like, national security writ large, and basically says that their videos are being treated according to a double standard that discriminates against them. And what PragerU shows is that the content of their videos is substantively exactly the same as videos being put out by traditionally liberal sources. The liberal videos are not subjected to these restrictions, demonetization, etc. Their content is not disadvantaged, whereas PragerU's content is. And PragerU has tried for months in many cases to get an understanding as to why YouTube is going about censoring or demonetizing these videos, putting these restricted flags on them that stop users from seeing them when they search for content. And those efforts have been in vain, essentially. What they found is that they get different answers from YouTube every time as to what the standards are. And when they present YouTube with evidence showing that basically the same types of content are not being restricted if they're being published by liberal sources, YouTube is not giving them a satisfactory response and not removing these flags.
Now, some free speech absolutists might say, especially on the conservative side, well, YouTube is essentially a private company. Your First Amendment rights don't apply. Is that necessarily true in this case? What is it that YouTube is doing as it enters into this relationship with PragerU? You know, it's a business relationship. You can't just discriminate in a business relationship in this way. Is that right?
Yeah, so what the suit essentially argues is that YouTube represents the digital public square. And Supreme Court justices have made allusions to this concept in unrelated cases, essentially saying that the major social media companies out there, given that they provide means of communication between literally billions of people, that they constitute a digital public square. And in a digital public square, one can then make the next argument, which is First Amendment free speech rights should be protected. Now, of course, YouTube will argue, and there have been a series of other instances where this has been argued, that as a private company, when you sign up and you agree to their terms of service, you're agreeing to their terms of service. And unless YouTube is essentially putting forth terms of service and then completely rejecting them in their own actions, it's pretty tough to argue against a private enterprise saying that they should be able to do with their social media platform as they see fit. However, there are cases out there, and in particular in California, which is where this federal suit is being adjudicated, which state that essentially certain private businesses, when they do business with a certain mass of population, in effect constitute, again, a public square, and thus your basically First Amendment free speech rights must be protected in that public square. So we're basically going to see a battle between, again, this notion of you should be able to allow whoever you want, or essentially turn back whoever you want as a private enterprise to do what the private enterprise wants, versus the idea of free speech, and also the fact that in this case, PragerU essentially is arguing that YouTube is violating its own agreement with users, which is to treat them equally.
Well, I think that's an important point. It's also worth, I think, keeping in the back of our minds the recognition that the government is not entirely absent from this situation. We know that the U.S. government and other governments have met with the social media giants and talked about content monitoring and content restrictions, primarily as it relates to violent extremism. But there is an element of the hand of government here, isn't there?
Absolutely. And if you look at the social media companies' policies with respect to hate speech, or whatever you want to call the type of content that's being classified here. But in Europe, many of these companies are being faced with authorities saying that if they host any kind of content, for example, that might be considered counter-jihadist content, they have to take it down, these social media platforms, within 24 hours, or risk facing massive fines in the millions of dollars. And so in some sense, you could make the argument that these social media companies essentially preempting the U.S. government here by going after content that is conservative in nature sometimes, and specifically other times counter-jihadist in nature, basically countering in advance the heavy hand of the U.S. government, because they've seen European governments come after them for enabling oftentimes quite anodyne content from being put forth on their platforms, whether it's deemed anti-immigrant by the progressive powers that prevail in Europe, or from our perspective, if it's saying that there's a threat that's coming from foreign entities and you need to defend yourself against them.
It seems kind of curious, too, that this only ever seems to fall one way. I mean, Ben, both you and I do quite a bit of looking at jihadist social media online for analysis purposes, and there's no shortage of it. It's easy to find. ISIS, Hamas, Twitter posts, Facebook pages. How is it that the restrictions are supposed to apply to the jihadists, and they always seem to land on the counter-jihadists?
Yeah, and that's a double standard that is kind of amazing here. And in a piece for the Gatestone Institute, I go into great detail showing the counter-jihadists who are censored on social media platforms, and conversely, the jihadist groups who put out very blatant propaganda seeking to incite jihadists, in many ways coordinating their activities, and in a sense carrying out all of their operations, recruitment activities, and the like through these social media platforms. It's very blatant what their content is. You know, when there's an advertisement on Facebook from a Hamas-linked group which says you should engage in knife attacks in Israel, and here's how you should engage in those attacks, I think it would be insane to argue that that content shouldn't be taken down. But we've seen that there have been several lawsuits put out against the major social media companies, arguing that, in effect, they are providing material support to the jihadist groups by not taking down content from known terrorist accounts. And the fact is that the social media companies argue they're doing everything that they can, but it's hard to understand how that can be the case when we've seen, for example, Memory, the Middle East Research Institute, which looks at all manner of jihadist propaganda, has shown that they have flagged numerous pieces of content linked to jihadists that have never been pulled down.
It's a major problem. We appreciate you having you on to talk about free speech. If we're going to be able to deal with this problem, it's going to have to be through free speech. So we appreciate all of your efforts, and we will be right back here on Secure Freedom Radio.